Mind That Bird's trainer, Chip Woolley, who brought the horse all the way from New Mexico on a van. I remember catching up with him on one of our Derby Countdown programs throughout Derby Week. We stood there at our tent on the backside, and we talked about his journey and what he was hoping for in the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if even he could have imagined that result, but what a ride it was and what a ride it's been over the past decade for Chip Woolley, who joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Chip, welcome to the program. How's that for a little trip down memory lane?
Well, that's always fun to listen to that call for sure.
I don't think it was Tom Durkin's favorite day.
I don't think so. I think that little gap there when he was trying to figure out who it was, that was pretty funny to look back on.
Yeah, and who on earth could have expected it would be Mind That Bird? I know you did. You were actually very confident going into that Kentucky Derby.
I honestly wasn't confident about winning, but I thought I could sure run third. You know, I didn't think I could beat Pioneer of the Nile, really, but I thought I could sure light the board, you know.
Had you ever seen that 5/8 mile run that he put in before? Had he ever done anything like that before?
No, you know, he really mainly was about a 3/8 mile run, really, you know, but that's what I was looking for after I bought the horse. I mean, that was what I thought would be the key to making him a good horse, or a better horse, let me put it that way, not a good horse, but a better horse, was to wait and just make a move. And we had worked him that way here. We'd put him with a couple other horses and put one like 20 in front of him, one like 10 in front of him, and let him work two of those horses from the 3/8, you know. And I worked him with two really nice stakes fillies, and he beat them like an afternoon off, you know. I mean, so I knew he had that in him if we could just get the proper trip to get that kind of a run from him. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be good enough to win a Derby, but I believed it would make him that much better.
Chip, what do you remember about the moment that he crossed the finish line?
Shock, really. I mean, for just a moment, I remember we were all screaming and celebrating in our box, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like a ton of bricks falling on you. You know, you couldn't believe you'd accomplished something like that, you know.
And you were on crutches, right, if I remember?
Yes, sir, I was on crutches, and I remember I even took off out of my box hopping on one leg without my crutches, you know, before all of it kind of come crashing down on me. And then all of a sudden you realize what you've done, you know, and it's just too big for belief, you know. So it was kind of, looking back on it, it's kind of funny to think about, but at the time there wasn't, just for an instant you had some celebration, and then it was just like, oh my God, you know, what do we do now? And it's kind of funny to look back, because it's like the whole world come crashing down on you for a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely an overwhelming feeling. I've never been part of a Kentucky Derby win as an owner, trainer, whatever, but I've been in the winner's circle a few times with people that I've interviewed and whatever, and it's a surreal experience. I mean, people do weird things, you know. Terry Finley, a couple guys picked him up and they were going to body slam him into the mud. And I'm just going, no, don't do that. You know, I mean, I was with Doug O'Neill with Nyquist. I got to watch that race from the box, and that was exciting. And the, like you mentioned, everybody going crazy and whatever. And then interviewing Doug, who had worked for me, his first job on the racetrack, and interviewing him going down to the winner's circle was just a surreal experience for me. And he'd done it before, so it wasn't, I don't want to say he was used to it, but he knew what to expect. But
I think you're right there. It's if you could go back and do it again, I think you could enjoy it a lot more, like, because you would know what's coming, you know.
Yeah.
When it happens to somebody like me from a regional area like this, it you know, you just don't know what to think after it happens, you know. And I think if you could go back, you could sure enjoy the moment a lot more.
Do you think that's why it's so addictive? Like, everybody says, oh, I want to do it again, you know. Is that
certainly,
why?
Certainly. to do it on that stage, I mean, you know, there's no other stage in horse racing like that stage. And I mean, you know, Breeders' Cup, they might, I don't know how many people they get there, but I, you know, generally, like at Santa Anita, say there's 45,000 people or so. I mean, to do it on that stage at Churchill and with all the history behind it, you know, it's just, I don't know, it'd be the, it's the ultimate if you're a true horse racing person, you know?
Chip, you've always been very humble when you've joined us before the Derby, after the Derby, and I know you always gave credit to the horse, and rightfully so, but let's not gloss over the training job that you did getting this horse ready to run that kind of race on the first Saturday in May. Talk about the weeks leading up to the Derby and what you had to do to get him ready, considering the fact that you were a bit hobbled yourself.
Well, you know, the main thing I did was just try not to change anything we'd been doing other than the trip he was going to get in the Derby, you know. And I honestly can't take a lot of credit for it. He was just a really good horse, and we had him dead fit. And, you know, he was really on his game. And, I mean, you know, you saw 2 weeks later in the Preakness, he showed up again, just happened to run into a super horse that he couldn't beat, you know. Really, I just can't say that much. I mean, you know, every trainer out there does the best they can do to have one ready on a given day. And luckily for the Derby, you know exactly when it's going to be, you know, so you can count backwards from Derby. You know, I moved him 2 weeks early, so I had plenty of time to prep him and get a couple of works over Churchill's track and recover from a trip. You know, that's no easy trip on the horse. And so everything I did, I planned starting about a month out to make sure that, you know, we were dead prep for Derby that day, you know. And otherwise, you know, it's truly a great performance by a really nice horse.
It seems like you never second guessed yourself along the trail, and that happens to a lot of trainers. They worry about it so much that they get in the horse's way. And it, at the very least, you stayed out of his way and just kept him healthy and happy.
Yeah, probably the only thing I would change if I was to do it again is I wouldn't have worked him between the Derby and the Preakness. I would have let him go in there a little bit fresher, but don't think I didn't second guess myself. It just didn't show up.
Well, maybe that helped him when he went to the Belmont. Maybe it made him just a little bit fitter for the Belmont.
Maybe, you know, but we did plenty of second guessing, but I just tried mainly what you're saying, just to stay out of his way and make him feel good and happy, you know, but I think if I could change one thing, I probably wouldn't have worked him prior to the Preakness, and then just went in there a little bit fresher. And, you know, until you've been through the Triple Crown, no trainer can understand how grueling it is on a horse to get through the Triple Crown. And with all the travel and the moving, new racetracks, and the distances, everything combined, if you look back, you think, you know, could have maybe trained just a hair less. Would have helped the horse, you know, and he wasn't a real big horse, and so it took a lot out of him to get through it, you know, and I don't know, he just ran huge, so not too many excuses.
Visiting with trainer Chip Woolley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, trainer of 2009 Kentucky Derby winner. Mind that bird. Chip, you know, in other sports like golf, for example, you win the Masters, you are always known as a Masters champion. If you win the Super Bowl, you're always known as a Super Bowl champion. Same thing with the World Series in baseball. You will forever be known as a Kentucky Derby winning trainer. You've had a decade to kind of go through your life as a Derby winning trainer. What's that been like for Chip Woolley?
Well, for the most part, it's back to normal, but yeah, you know, every day in the races, you'll run into a new fan that you've never met, you know, that goes back to that Derby, you know, and that's fun, and you enjoy it, and you try to represent the sport the best you can at all times, you know. But to be in a club with some of the greatest trainers ever to live, it's kind of special.
What's it like to be featured in a movie?
Well, I got to be honest. I never was too caught up in the movie thing. You know, I felt like it took 30 years for greatest horse in history to get a movie. So I thought ours was a little too quick. But
that's a great line. Wow.
Great take.
But, you know, it's fun. It was a real good fun movie, you know, to watch and to have a few laughs. But I just never really got caught up that much in all of that.
What's Mind That Bird doing now?
He lives on his owner's farm over here in Roswell, New Mexico, mainly a big lawnmower. They take him and do a few. We take him and do a few fundraisers and things around. They took him to Colorado Springs for the Air Force game and did a fundraiser for the Wounded Warriors. You know, we take him a few places, do things like that, and then mainly he mows grass, but he's got a good life, and he'll be well cared for the rest of his life, you know.
That's great. You know, we've had a lot of Kentucky Derby winning trainers on this show, and they always talk about, you know, people say, oh, did you win the Derby? And you can finally say, yes, I did. And how many times have people asked you that roughly, you know, oh, did you ever win the Kentucky Derby? And you get to tell them, yes. How many times does that happen?
It happens more than you think. And kind of luckily for me, between how shocking it was to the world, you know, mine, a lot of people still remember it, of course. But you get on a plane and somebody might ask you, what do you do for a living? Oh, I train horses. Oh, really? You ever been to the Kentucky Derby? Well, yeah, I win one. and they're like, really? And they, I mean, half of them act like they don't believe it first, you know. It's just, you know, it's something really special, you know. When after the, or during the Breeders' Cup the year I won the Derby, I spent quite a bit of time with Baffert, and we got to be pretty good friends, and I was at his house one night, and of course he'd win every major race in the country pretty much by then, and he took me and showed me his trophy case, and we're looking through there, and the swords from Dubai, you name it. I mean, he'd win everything known to man, all them Breeders' Cup trophies. And of course he ran second to Mind That Bird with Pioneer of the Nile. And he told me, he said, you see all those ones right there? He said, I trade all of them for that one you got this year.
Wow.
And that was, I think, the first time I realized what you had really accomplished.
Yeah, that's a great, great story. And boy, talk about putting it in perspective, huh? A guy like Bob Baffert says something like exactly. That to you. That's incredible, Chip.
You know, exactly. Coming from him, you know, that really, really put it in the light of what you had accomplished and what your horse had done, you know.
Well, Chip, it was a memorable day. It's one that we're never going to forget. I know you will never forget it, and really appreciate you spending some time with us here this morning, getting up early out there in New Mexico to be with us. Appreciate the visit here, and look forward to hopefully seeing you at this year's Kentucky Derby when you make it back as a Derby champion.
Sounds good.